Everybody wants it. Some claim they have found it, but most of us are still looking for it. From the Word of God in the New Testament, the Gospel of John, chapter 20, starting in verse 18. John chapter 20, verse 18. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." And when he had said so, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I shall see his hands and the prints of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." Peace. Peace I leave with you. Peace I give you. Not as the world gives peace, not as the world has an association with it. And then he says, "Let not your heart be troubled or fearful." Then a couple stories that have stood out to me in the news that really has caused an impact on me. And I didn't give it for Father's Day, but we'll give it to you here now. Over the past couple weeks and over the past month, one of the stories is a father took his gun and executed his three little boys. These boys' ages are 7, 4, and 3. His father is in Ohio. The mother tried to stop him and got a hole in her hand. One of the boys escaped. I think he was a 7-year-old, went out, tried to hide in the woods. The father hunted him down, dragged him back, and executed him. Another story was where a mom and dad up in Georgia, I think close to Atlanta, were arrested because they had starved their 10-year-old to the point of death. And you go, how in the world can we have peace? And what in the world is happening? The world has never had peace, by the way. War after war after war has always been on our planet. I just recently studied World War I. Supposedly, World War I was the war to end all wars. I always wondered why that. Why is it the war to end all wars? And you look at World War I, do you know that there was a war before World War I? And World War I think, started in 1914. There's a war in 1913. There's a war in 1912. There's a war in 1911. There's a war in 1910. There's a war in 1909. There's wars all over the place. We were involved in some. Most of them were in Europe. But there are war after war after war. That's why we, as America, didn't want to go over to Europe to have another war. Because there was another war. War after war after war. And so eventually, World War I, we had to get involved because they start sinking our boats, the Lusitania and other ships. There was a war in Paraguay It was called the Six-Year War. It was against Brazil, and over 300,000 lives were lost. 300,000. And I guarantee hardly anybody in here has ever heard of that war. 300,000 people gone. All the major powers have been involved in war, and they all have said the words, peace, peace. Richard Nixon is famous for his dinner with the Soviet dictator, Leonid Brezhnev. He said this, "We have laid the groundwork for a significant improvement in our relations that will result from the discussions and agreements undertaken this week." I love the words of politician. They're so lofty. "We shall be worthy of the hopes of people everywhere that the two world's strongest nations will work together for the cause of peace and friendship." That was back in Nixon's day in the 70s. Mikhail Gorbachev, we all remember him. He won a Nobel Peace Prize. 40 years later, how's it going for Russia and America? No peace, is there? Jeremiah says this to us. He says, "For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace." The world will never have peace. What I want, hopefully you can do, is get a picture of peace, which is what the world wants you to have. And the picture that comes to mind is of sheep in an open pasture on a green field. And the sheep are in the flock, and they're talking to one another, and they're going, "Man, this is wonderful." Right to other sheep, you know, you call them Bob or Bill or Judy or whoever you want is in the field with you. And one sheep's talking to the other, and we're going, "This is wonderful. This grass is lush and green, and we haven't had any problems. And the brook is calm, and we have all the water that we want. And the sheep are doing great and talking to each other." Little do the sheep know that on the outskirts of the pasture is a wolf or a fox or a bear or an enemy. And he's always there. Do you know that the wolf and the fox and the bear and the enemy is always there, always surrounding, always looking for weakness, always looking for a way to disturb the peace? This is why when men say, peace, peace, and Jesus warns us, then comes destruction. Because you're there eating your grass. You're there all peaceful, and everything's going great in life. Hoop-de-doo, nothing that could bad happen to me. Then health goes bad. Along comes an untimely death. Maybe the job goes kaput. Maybe the family says they don't want nothing to do with you. Destruction comes into our life of peace. And so the world is looking for that peaceful existence in life. Hopefully this morning we'll be able to have a better perspective of what I believe peace is, exclusively from God's word. How do we have peace in a world that's so torn like ours? How do we have peace? Hatred, wars, disease, death, indifference. People who would order a hamburger and then shoot you. How do you have peace in that world? How is it even possible? What's really bad is the trauma that affects us personally. A lot of times we talk about the world situation. There's really hardly anything we can do about that. But personally, how's your peace? Personally, the trauma that you and I go through, the betrayal, the rejection. And we ask the question to ourselves, and through the trauma, through the rejection, through the pain, we go, when is the peace going to come in my life? When will I have peace now? And that's the question that I hope that we can answer this morning. And I have my share of traumatic events as well. My mother passed away close to 7 years now, and she had acquired an autoimmune disease. And it was painful for her to walk on her feet. It started at her feet. And so she had just become a nurse. She had raised seven boys and had a great life as a mom and a wonderful person, attended church, sang in the choir, ran the bus ministry, was in the nursery, and she always wanted to be a nurse and a pediatric nurse. And so she attained that goal at age 53. She went to school and became that nurse and was working in pediatrics when this disease hit her. And she was in pain for 12 to 13 years of her life, never got out of pain, never got out of suffering. Christy and I were in Mississippi for the most part of those 10 years, but we were fortunate enough to come back home and be with her the last 3 years of her life. And just an amazing thing to see God work through suffering. People would come over from the church and visit with her, and she would have visitors even outside of the church to cheer her up and to pray for her and to give her God's blessing on her life. But what I saw as they came over, they started asking her, how do you do it? What's your secret? Because she had joy in her life. She had peace in her life, even though that she was suffering through the pain that she was going through. And at the end of the visit, they were thanking her. Thank you so much, Judy, for being a blessing in my life. Thank you so much for showing us that even through pain, God can give you grace and joy and peace. And so she had a low blood pressure. My brother and dad took her to the hospital, and she never recovered from that, but they were so distraught because Mom wanted to go home to be with the Lord from her house and around the people that she loves. So they brought her back to the house from the hospital, and we had set up there in my dad's house living room, her bed, and the breathing apparatus that she was on. And all the family came over, all the brothers, all the grandchildren, and close to 20, 30 folks were there in our dad's living room with my mom in the middle. And all laughing and having a good time and eating the meal like she would want. And as I'm holding her hand, I'm inside going, no, this isn't right. The anxiety that comes upon you to say, why her, Lord? Why is she going through this? Why is this even happening? And the anxiety and the my heart rate was up. My breathing was out of control as I'm holding her hand saying, this isn't right. I'm going to lose you. And then I could hear her machine and the breathing. That breathing slowed my breathing down. And I heard her say, Joshua. Joshua, I'm at peace. Why aren't you? And as I'm holding her hand, I thank God for my mother, peace that she had. And I told her, Mom, I love you, and I'll see you in the morning. Chris and I left to go to our house. And about 2 or 3 in the morning, she passed away and went home to be with the Lord. But I know that she's at peace. And the peace that she gave me through the Lord Jesus Christ that was indwelling her gave me peace to be able to accept that I'm only going to miss her for a little while until it's my turn. Until it's my turn to make the exodus to go see the Lord, to be with her again. This is the peace that passes understanding. This is the peace that Jesus gives us through trauma, through tragedy. And it can strike at any time. Are we going to be like the sheep that says, oh, everything's great? Or are we going to look to the shepherd to keep us safe through the times of calamity? And that's where we start. We start with Jesus. I love everything about our Lord and Savior, start to finish and continuing on. It's so wonderful, even at his birth. You guys remember the angels came down and told the shepherds, hey, we're giving you great news. There's a Savior born, and this little baby is going to be to bring peace on earth and goodwill towards men. Isn't that amazing? Even before he's born, the little baby Jesus, which is Jesus himself, brings peace. And then as we go through his life, he gives us so many great words, doesn't he? That relaxes us and relieves our anxiety and brings us peace. How many of you can improve your stature by worrying about it? How many of you can add one more year to your life by having anxiety about it? Look at the birds. They don't toil. They don't fret. Look at the lily of the valley. It's more beautiful than all of Solomon. You don't have to worry about your possessions, your things, your life. Why? Because I'm here. I'm your Lord. And the Lord's going to take care of you. The Father takes care of all these things. How much more will he take care of you? It's just so calming, that his words that he gives us. Fear not, for I'll be with you always. Isn't that amazing? I'll be with you. Fear not. There's no fear. There's no trepidation. There's only peace that he brings to our life. It's not a picture of a pasture. It's a picture of a shepherd that's taking care of his pasture. And then the cross. We sit at the feet of the cross and we look up at our dear beloved Savior, our friend who fed us, gave us the living waters, who tells us he's the bread of life, and he's hanging there, bleeding, unrecognizable. And we hear the same thing that I heard from my mother, that labored breathing, trying to catch a breath. Everything goes quiet, dark, and there's peace that he brings because he's taken all your sin, all your guilt, all your shame, and he's nailed it to his own body to be covered by his blood. Because that's the sin that causes us war. That's the sin that causes us hatred and resentment and bitterness. And it's all nailed to the cross. And all we have to do is say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being who you are. He takes us by the hand, and he calls us our name and goes, Joshua, Joshua, I'm here. I'm here. And I love how it's not just an empty promise, because Thomas, he gets a lot of bad rap. He gets a bad rap for doubting. Unless I put my hand at his side, I won't believe. I think it's fine, because without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, all of us would not be here today. And if we were here, we would be serving a dead religion, just like all the other religions in the world. There would be no hope. There would be sadness, because this is it. This is all you have. But because of the resurrection of Jesus, I tell you, I love that old hymn, don't you? Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, I know who holds the future. Because he lives, life is worth the living. Because he lives. And all through the Gospels, all through his life, even before his life, he is the Prince of Peace. And if I may be so bold for your life and my life, as he told the disciples after the cross, peace be with you. The Lord Jesus Christ is peace. If you want to have peace in your life, if you want to have true contentment, that means the Lord Jesus Christ needs to be in your life. There's where peace is going to come from. There's where true joy, there's where true love, and this, I hate to add on the word true, because, but we do with our English language. There's where true peace comes from, is through him, because he provides it, because we're following him. We're following the way he's changed our life. He's transformed us. We learned it in one of our Bible studies that we have a transforming work in us. We're no longer worms. We've transformed from the chrysalis into a beautiful butterfly. We have wings now. We're free. We no longer have to travel on the dirt. He gives us that freedom to be above this world, above the cynicism, above the rife that's out there. And we can be leaders in our homes, in our families, to say, just like Jesus did, peace be still. To the storms, to the chaos, to the terribleness of this world. Because it's out there. The wolf is circling. The wolf is ready to pounce. The wolf is ready to eat. The wolf is ready to destroy. But thank God I got a shepherd that has a big stick, and he's destroyed the wolf. He's crushed Satan. He's crushed the things of this earth and this world, and has given me freedom. And I pray that he's given you that same freedom if you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior. Let's stand for a time of invitation, a time of reflection, and really more important, what's your reaction? Is it time to get real with God and stop playing games? Stop going along with whatever the latest thing is in the world and ways to try to find happiness. Time to get serious. Time to put the Lord at the forefront of your life. To say, here I am, Lord, take it all. I surrender all to you. Here I am. I give it all. Would you bow your heads in prayer? If you're not certain that you're saved, would you like to be saved? Would you like to know? Would you like to know that you really have life, that you really have peace? Pray this prayer with me. Dear God, I know that you love me. I know that you died for me. Thank you so much for loving me. Thank you so much for saving me. I trust you. I believe that you're the Son of God. I believe you paid for my sins on the cross. I believe that God raised you from the dead, and now I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Forgive me my sins. Cleanse me. Come into my life. Take control of my life. And thank you, Lord, for your great love. You just prayed that prayer. You're a child of God. Let everybody know about it. Let me know about it. I'd be glad to pray with you and to show you the next steps, how to be a Christian that loves the Lord and serves him. And now, Christians talking to you, it's high time. It's high time to get serious. The world's falling apart. And I know that your life is tough. My life is tough. We go through instances that it's almost where you can't breathe anymore. I want you to give it all. Give it all to Jesus. Live for him passionately, intentionally, in everything that you say and do. Thank you so much, Lord, for your love and your peace that you give us.